turn your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. We'll take a break from our look-see at the book of Obadiah and Esau and Edom and what that book is all about. And the press of the Lord to preach this message this evening. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Turn it down a little bit, Miranda. It's a little bit hot, honey. Here, I mean, there is a boatload of information here. I mean, this is to break this all down and take a look at it takes some time, because I mean it is a packed statement here that the Apostle Paul makes regarding salvation, the blessings of salvation, and all that the Lord has done for us and how he has done it and what it means. Okay. But tonight, I want us just to focus on this thought that we see in verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So here we see these patience, experience, hope, and what that yields, and the purpose of each one of those. All that is so because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God. And so you think about being shed abroad. You know, we don't use that word shed to mean to talk about scatter. I think we would use the word scatter or strow, okay? But that's what this word is talking about. It's been distributed within us. It's shed abroad. It's not little. It's great and covering, okay? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, which is given unto us. And that is a definition of salvation, is the Spirit of God living within. The love of God. How is it that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts? How is it that that happens? What's the practical working of that, and how is it that that takes place? Well, verse number 8, we have information about that. When the individual sees that God commended his love toward you, that's how it's shed abroad. When we see that we are the sinner that needs saving, and we see and come to understand and believe that Christ Jesus did for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or we make it personal, God commendeth his love toward me, in that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. Now, when you and I see that, we begin to understand about love. The love of the Lord. Why would he do so? He's not leveraged into doing so for any reason. He willingly did so. The Father sent the Son, and he willingly did so. The Son was willing to come and do what he did. He did so willingly. The Spirit works to bring the truth of that unto sinners. Willingly. Desirous. And does so. We've seen recently in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts is so in this way. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, 1 John 4:9, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And when we see that, when we receive that, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Until then, does an individual really know love? No. Not until God's love. Not the greatest working of love is not understood by a man or a woman until they experience the love of God for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in 1 John 3, backing up a chapter, here it spells it out plainly, hereby perceive we the love of God. And remember this verse, 1 John 3:16, okay? We know about John 3:16. Remember this, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so we begin to see there what this love will work in us, is that we need to be willing to give of ourselves for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the hallmark passage that speaks to us about love. Here it's the word is charity. The difference is it's not talking about just an act of love, but it's talking about an overwhelming abundance of love. And when the love of God is spoken about, that's the word that's used, okay? We understand it in the Greek as the brethren wrote. No doubt they're looking for, and the Spirit of God is leading in it. They used terminology that spoke about a love feast. Okay, we have some feasts when we have our fellowship dinners. You have some feasts like at Thanksgiving and celebration of birthdays and things like that. There's a lot there of the things that you like. And there's more there than you can eat and partake of. Well, that's what this word, charity, this Greek word, agape, it is speaking about that. I mean, it's an overflowing. It's not just enough love to get the job done, but I tell you what, the cup is running over. Okay? That's what it's talking about. And so, quickly tonight, well, it probably won't be so quick, so I shouldn't say that. I don't want to lie to you. But let us review what the Lord says to us about such love as the Lord has loved us with, and this love that is shed abroad in our hearts. Let us just be reminded of it, okay? Let us just be reminded of what it is, the quality, the character of it, that we might be reminded and that we might understand. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so much so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here we see, first off, right off the bat, without an abundance of love overpouring like the Lord's, this love feast, without that, all of our works are vain. Every aspect of our works are vain. Though I speak with the tongues of men and in the tongues of angels, which we don't even know what the tongues of angels are, but if that could be, if I don't have charity, what is it? I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I say nothing. You know, and it's true, our witness for the Lord can be a good witness for the Lord or a poor or bad witness for the Lord. And it always needs to be filled with love. It needs to be. That's the witness that has come to us. He says here, though I have the gift of prophecy, you understand the scriptures. I mean, got it down. Understand all mysteries. Not the biggest part. Not the most important ones. Can we say that about mysteries, that there's some important ones and not some not important ones? No. But all the mysteries that there are, the mysteries of God, totally understand them all, able to rehearse them and understand the application and the working of them in detail, be able to lay them out. Though we would have all knowledge, know everything about everything, and have all faith. And here's the descriptor of that, so that you could go over here to the nearest hill or mountain and move it over into wherever. Okay, because that's the way the Lord Jesus described faith. Okay, faith of a mustard seed. We have all that. The ability to speak, the ability to give forth the word of God, understand all the mysteries of the Lord, have all knowledge of everything, have all of faith, and have not charity. Well, in the first part it says, we say nothing in verse number 1, and here in these things, I am nothing. Can do all of that, and without charity, without an overflowing of love, and the abundance of love, like that love that's shed abroad in our hearts, That is the love of God. If we do not have that, this love, we are nothing. I am nothing. And then, if I give not half of my goods, but all of my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned, a martyr for the sake of the Lord, and have not charity, what's it say in verse 3? I'm profited nothing. I'm profited nothing. Now, understand the context. Church of Corinth, saints of God. That's who it's coming to. And what is our profit? What is our benefit? What is our reward? Well, it's of the Lord, isn't it? And if we do so, we give the ultimate sacrifice of self to be burned, which is a terrible way to be martyred. If we don't have charity, we're not profited a thing in the work of the Lord. Understand that in this we see that if we have not the love of the Lord, this love that's been shed abroad in our hearts, if we don't have that within us working and being cultivated as we see and giving that forth in our conversation, we say nothing, we are nothing, and we're profited nothing. And we need to be reminded of that. Understand that this of charity, this of this abundance of love, this love feast, is always directed toward someone. We just don't have this. We don't have this in ourselves. It's not unto ourselves. We love the Lord because He first loved us. We love the saints because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. The working, the image of Christ among us, because Christ has saved you too. We love the sinner, because there we were, the one without Christ. And as Jesus loved the sinner, we are to love the sinner, to give them forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be rescued too. Because we see where before we did not see. We're in the light, before when we were in the darkness. And so charity is always directed towards someone. It's not a thing that we just possess within ourselves and enjoy within ourselves just by ourselves, but it's always with someone. That's how it is known and manifested. And it's towards these, toward God, toward our fellow man. It's summed up in this of relationships. Relationships. Relationships with people in our lives. That's where it's at. You may love a boat, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about relationships. With the Lord, with our brethren, in our families, and with sinners. And then we come to verses 4 through 8 where we see the character of charity. And these are great. This is a tall order, but this is what the abundance, this overflowing of love does. Charity suffereth long, not short. Charity is kind. The overflowing abundance of love manifested, love with legs on it, doesn't get jealous, envieth not. The children of God, saved by the Lord and by the Lord Jesus Christ, having this work of the Spirit within them, are not in a race with anyone. There's no competition. There's no one-upping another. The Scripture tells us, I believe in this same book, that it tells us that if we compare ourselves with one another, we are not wise. It doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't put itself to the front of the line. It's not puffed up, saying, look at me. I've got it together. I do it better. I go farther. No, the overwhelming abundance of love of the Lord shed abroad in our hearts does not put itself out there in the front. It doesn't puff itself up. It just doesn't do that. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It's not jealous. It doesn't behave in an untoward way. It doesn't scrapple and grapple for itself. Seeketh not her own, which is related to that. Just my way. My way is the only way. And you know, those things are natural for us. The things that charity speaks against and works against are just natural for mankind. It's natural for this flesh. But an overabundance of love, this love of the Lord, is not easily provoked. Doesn't rile up and take offense quick and get defensive in that. Charity thinketh no evil. It doesn't think about malice and getting back, hurting because we've been hurt. Charity doesn't do that. Charity doesn't do that. We have sinned in every one of these aspects. You can go and by yourself before the Lord, think about how we have done all of these things before God and consider His reaction unto us. Tell you what, the first thing to understand is we're alive. And we've been saved. See that? His love toward us. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't get a thrill out of sin and wickedness and evil. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. What's the truth? Let's find that out. Charity says, let's do that. Truth is going on. Truth is happening here and happening there. In our day, in our nation, it's fallen in the streets indeed. But charity loves to see the truth manifested, loves to see the truth pursued. It rejoices. How is it when rejoicing? We don't use that word, but you go to a ball game and you're team scores whatever, you cheer. We'll do that now, won't we? Last ball game I went, it was probably a Cardinals ball game, and when they scored, I stood up and cheered. We do it for all kinds of things, right? Charity beareth pretty much everything. Sometimes you can get to extremes, and no, it says all, doesn't it? All's a big word. It's a three-letter word, but it's a big word. Charity beareth all things. Love with legs on it. A love feast, as well we understand it from the Greek. Charity believeth all things. And I think that this is tied, this believing all things. Charity, the one that has the charity, the love, the overabounding love of God, shed abroad in their hearts, cultivated in themselves, wants to believe good things. Now, it's not talking about being naive. It's not talking about, you know, looking at the world in rose-colored glasses. But the desire is for good things. Here's the thing, to desire things honoring and glorifying to our Lord. Charity hopeth all things. And I tell you what, this is something that the Lord has worked on me about, hoping all things. I tell you what, impossible things that we're faced with. We in our hearts and our minds don't need to give up on the power and the working of the Lord. While there's life, there is help and hope in people's lives. And that's what charity does. It hopes. It hopes. It looks for a good thing. Charity endures all things, endureth all things, hangs in there. Overbounding love and overflowing love, the cup running over kind of love, love that pushes to action. This love that is described here in this word charity, it never fails. It has not failed us, has it? Our Lord's love into action for us, for sinners, saving our souls and making us His own, has not failed us, has it? Charity is full of the fruit of the Spirit. And we don't have time for that, but you could go take a look in Galatians chapter 5, and we see that charity will cover a multitude of sins, the Scripture tells us. It's not talking about brushing sins under the rug. But charity, being full of the fruit of the Spirit, will deal with sin right and will allow for forgiveness as the Lord allows for forgiveness and desires. Well, it's back to that relationship thing, isn't it? A relationship, fellowship. Another word in the Scripture that we see is communion. That's what charity wants. Charity looks and desires forgiveness. Not to let somebody off the hook, but looks for repentance. It's willing to forgive first. Yes, there is that one-on-one thing that needs to happen in forgiveness. But as the example of our Lord Jesus always is, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as they're hanging Him on the tree, nailing Him to the cross. He was forgiving then and asking the Father. Charity, listen, charity takes self-control. And there's so much that we could speak about in regards to that. We just don't have the time. We continue on here in verse number 8, where it speaks here about the path of spiritual maturity. And we'll not spend a lot of time on this, but let's read it. "But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, And Paul is speaking about that day, the coming on of the New Testament Scriptures. Indeed, but also we see this in our own lives. But when that which is perfect has come, that's speaking about maturity, growing up in the Lord, then that which is in part shall be done away. Here's the example to help us understand. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When we're a baby, it's just spit bubbles and some cute syllables that don't mean anything. Okay? That's how we start off. Okay? And then as we grow, we begin to add to that, and there's less spit bubbles, and there's more things that can be understood, and we move on. When I was a child, I spake as a child. In that day, there were a necessity for prophecies and prophets, but they failed. The Word of God came on, tells us some of those that were given by the prophets there in that day. There were tongues, were there not? There were. The gift of languages from the day of Pentecost on for several years, for even maybe some decades. But it came a time that wasn't necessary anymore. The church of the Lord, speaking institutionally, churches matured. They grew up into this church age. And that's the way it is with churches. They have life cycles and they have growing that they do. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. So speech and understanding and thinking, knowledge. But when I became man, I put away childish things. So there's this growing up, this self-control that's needed, and this maturing that's needed for us to abound in this love. See, things that you and I know are true, and we know it in our own lives. Children only think about now. That's what children do. They think about now. They give little consideration to the future. It's not a slam upon youth, but it's just that way. Children have typically little vision for the future. They think about now. But what is it that God does? He always has a vision for the future. And without charity, within all of our works are vain. And so we're just thinking about now. Then that's where we can find ourselves. But the design of our Lord is that our fruit, he says in John 15:16, that our fruit, what we bear, is to remain. So we need to grow up. Having that in mind, that concept, that understanding in mind, and that we might grow in this love. See, what does a man do? What is someone that is mature? What do they do? Well, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. That's remembering where we started, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's where we're living and how we've been living along. He's delivered us that and purified to himself a peculiar people, people that'll grow up. A different kind of people, a people that stand out in the world. Not weird, but holy and godly. That might appear weird in the world. Zealous of good works. And so the character or the path of spiritual maturity is that we grow up from being a child in the Lord and become full grown in the Lord and manifest love like our Lord has manifested. He goes back to this, gives us another understanding or way to look at it. Verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly. We can see some of it. We can't see all of it. But then face to face. From the time that we're saved to that point that we see our Lord face to face, that's the timeline. That is the spectrum of maturity in our Lord. And what this verse does, it gives us each end of the spectrum. Seeing through a glass darkly, all the way to seeing face to face. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And that is hope, isn't it? Hope that this passage speaks about. This verse, again, gives us the spectrum of each end of spiritual maturity. From not being able to see, from understanding very little, to seeing the Lord face to face. And what are we to do in that? What's in between those points? Growing up in our Lord. We start off by being born again. We go on by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And as we've read in our text, we gain experience with Him in our lives, which brings us hope, which will one day bring us rest with Him. Loving Him with our lives and loving others more than we have until we go on to be with Him in glory. The love feast. This love that's shed abroad in our hearts. Verse number 13 goes on to say, well, let me read this for you quickly in James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that means an abundance of wrongdoing, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now we see through a glass darkly. We can backslide, and that's the way the glass gets. It gets dark and foggy and that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we see, without this abundance of love that's shed abroad in our hearts at salvation, and we need to have that within us, we need to cultivate that, we need to understand that's the way the Lord loves. It is love unto action. Without it, all of our works are vain. It is directed always toward someone. It has a great list of character attributes. And it is part and a great part of the path of spiritual maturity. In verse number 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And that's what our Lord has told us. Oh, faith is great. And hope is wonderful indeed. It's not hope so. Remember, Bible hope is not hope it'll happen. But we know it will happen. It's just a matter of when. He says the greatest of these is this abundance and overflowing of love. In conclusion, let us know this as the children of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Peter writes, according to his, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, through Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers, we might be partakers of the divine nature, and that is the divine nature of Christ, to be like Him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the desire of the flesh, through lust, and beside this, Give all diligence, add to your faith, verse 7, last word, charity. We need to be cultivating it. I need to be cultivating it. It's not natural for this flesh and this mind to cultivate it. But it is according to the supernatural that lives within us, the Spirit of God. It's been shed abroad in our hearts that Jesus, oh, what love that Jesus, that the Father would send His Son and that the Son would come to save a wretch like me. That's been shed abroad in my heart. If you're saved, it's been shed abroad in your heart. Now we need to take that and we need to reflect that. We need to cultivate that. We need to work on that. And we need to understand that it's relationship-based with every relationship that we have. Are you a believer? Add charity to your faith. And may the Lord help us to be reminded of these things and that we might understand the great love by which we have been called in, and by our Lord. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts.